know, Jesus said some pretty powerful things at times. Most every time, right? Anytime Jesus opened his mouth and spoke, it was something that needed to be listened to, right? Not everybody heard it. Not everybody listened, you know. And in Matthew chapter 16, verse 17 and 18, Jesus spoke to Peter, Simon. He said this, Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." That's a pretty powerful statement. You know, this week I'd like to talk about the church. That's the subject for today. And what is church? I think we all have this definition of what church is. We define it in certain ways. And Jesus had a definition for what he thought church should be. And he told Peter, he said, "Peter, you're the rock. I'm going to build my church on you." You know, according to Webster's Dictionary, Webster's Dictionary defines it a little like this. It's, church is a building, a clergy or an organization of religious believers, a public divine worship center, a profession. You know, the word church really wasn't used in that statement when Jesus told Peter that, "Upon this rock I will build my church." That's the word we know. Jesus didn't say this to Peter because Jesus spoke in Aramaic. And then it was translated from the Greek, and it wasn't in the English like that, and he said it in Aramaic, and Matthew wrote it down in Greek, and the Greek word Matthew wrote down was ecclesia. That's the word that he used. And it's about the closest thing that we can come to the literal translation of ecclesia is the called out. The term was used to refer to an assembly of citizens being the called out. Called out for what? A special purpose or an event. You know, Abraham in the Old Testament, we look at it, Abraham was called out. He was called to leave. He was called out. Jesus was called out of heaven and sent here. And then Jesus said, "Now I send, as my Father sent me, I send you," right? I've been talking a little bit about that lately. But this definition of what we have of the church and the definition that the world has of the church a lot of times represents a building, an organization. You know, that's a profession. Just a few days before, or a few conversations before, between Jesus and Peter, when the word ecclesia, called out, was first used, Jesus talked to Peter about his ecclesia, and Jesus was wrapping up their 3 days of ministry to a group of about 4,000, not including women and children. So, you know, there was thousands there. Thousands of people there. And at the end of the 3 days that he had been speaking, he knew that they were hungry. They didn't have any food with them, and they'd been listening to him for 3 days, and I wonder how many of you would stay here in the church and listen to me for 3 days and not eat. I don't think I'd have very many people here. I think I might be the only one, and I might not even be here. Because I like to eat. Right? That's our humanity. But, you know, that really stuck with me, because they stayed for 3 days. No, they didn't have any food. They followed him, and thousands of people sitting there listening to Jesus. They're so captivated by what he was saying. Jesus knew that they were hungry, so he took some food, the food the disciples had left, 7 loaves of bread and a few small fish, and he gave thanks to the Father and for what he had, and then he broke it up into loaves and fishes, and he fed them all of them, thousands, maybe 10,000s or maybe 12,000 there. Man, how do you do that? That's pretty powerful, isn't it? The disciples are right there with him watching. All these people, thousands of them, witnessed it. You know, the next morning, along come the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and that's different for them to be together, really, because they didn't like each other too much. They disagreed on a lot of things, and so I refer to them as the RGICs, the religious guys in charge. That's what that stands for. You know, they didn't get along very well, but here we find them together. But they didn't like Jesus. They didn't like Jesus. They didn't like what he was saying. They didn't like what he was doing. And so they asked him this question. Pharisees and Sadducees said to Jesus, "If you're the real deal, show us a sign from heaven." It's basically what they were saying. Where he just fed thousands of people with 7 loaves and some fishes. I'm sure there was witnesses to that. People tell him, "Hey, this guy just did this." But yet here they are like, "Show us a sign." Well, what bigger sign would you need? I mean, can you imagine me today, you know, thanking God, standing up here preaching and reaching down here and grabbing this little box and giving everybody a Big Mac out of that box? Or a double Whopper, maybe? Or maybe just fried chicken. We like that. Fried fish from the Hangry Hut. There you go. Now we're talking, right? Turkey. Now, I mean, that would be something to talk about. That would be something you wouldn't forget, right? No, God wants you nothing forget. You know, I think about those things, and I'm just thinking, you know, a sign from heaven, really? You know, anybody that says, "Show me a sign from heaven," wouldn't believe in God if he came down and sat in his lap. I mean, that's how they were. They just couldn't believe it. They just couldn't. It didn't matter what he did. It didn't matter what he did. They just wasn't going to believe it. I know there's people like that. There's people like that. Sometimes there's people in the church like that too. They just can't believe what they see sometimes. They just don't get it inside, in their mind. They just don't get it, what it's really all about. It's called out, what Jesus said. This ecclesia, what we are. There's a lot of people who just don't really get it. This definition of the church is what I'm trying to say this morning. Jesus saw through the hypocrisy of the RGICs and the religious guys in charge. And he needed to bring his disciples up to speed to get them ready. And he said to them, "Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees." Be on your guard. And here the disciples are thinking he's talking about bread. They just don't get it yet. You know, Jesus brought his disciples through 3 days of teaching and miracles, feeding 12,000 people with 7 loaves of bread and a few fish, telling the religious guys in charge that they were hypocrites and all kinds of stuff. He had them prepped for what he was about to say. Who do people say I am? That's what he asked. Of course, they had a lot of answers for that. Apollos, they had all these answers for that. You're a great prophet. You're this. Then Jesus asked this big question. He said, who do you think I am? Who do you think I am? I ask you that question this morning. Who do you think Jesus is? Who do you think he is this morning? Who is he to you? And here's Peter, a guy who always, he always has an answer. Sometimes he let his mouth fly open before he thought about what he was going to say. I've been there. I do that sometimes. Sometimes my mouth's ahead of my head, my brain. But he said this, Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Peter, you know, was usually either sometimes he was an idiot by some of the things that he said, but sometimes he was just brilliant with what he said. Sometimes he got it. And here he's like, I got it. You're the Christ. You know, I've been that guy. I don't mean disrespect to Peter. I'm just saying I've been that guy. I put myself in that place. Sometimes I don't get it. I'm just standing there dumb, you know, like, what? After seeing all they saw, walking with Jesus and seeing all these miracles and all that, you know, you would think all of them would be like, yeah, you're Jesus, you're the Christ, you're this. Peter's like, I know. I know who you are. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Man, that must have made Peter feel pretty good. I got it, he said. I wonder if he turned to the other disciples and was like, I got it. I got that one right. That's what we'd do, wouldn't it? We'd look at our buddies and say, I got that one right. But that's the first time the church, the ecclesia, is mentioned in the New Testament. He gave Simon a new name, which means the rock, and he said, on this rock he will build his ecclesia, those who he has called out. I love that. The called out ones. You know, when I think of the church, I'm not talking about the building. Jesus wasn't talking about building. He didn't tell Peter, go build a building. That's not what he meant. The church, according to Paul's letter in Ephesians again, that figures is a building, but not one made of bricks and mortar. And it says in Ephesians 2:19-22, it says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens in God's and God, with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundations of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Amen. We are the bricks in the mortar. Starting with Abraham and Moses and David and the rest of the Old Testament building materials, along with Peter the rock and John the Baptist and the disciples who walked and ate with Jesus and Paul himself and those Ephesians who believed and the Roman and Jewish and the Corinthian believers and those from every tribe and every nation who heard and understood and believed the message that God had come in the flesh down to you and me were the church. Amen. Yep.
Nobody else. Everybody that's not in church, I'm going to be here for 7 years when he comes back. And it's going to be a terrible time. And the ones he takes out, the whole, all the church he's bringing back with him, just to straighten up this country. And I'm going to be right here in church when he comes back.
Amen. Thank you for your dedication to the church. Brother Curley, witnessing to people in our community. Thank you for that.
Yeah,
thank you.
We ask for these two to come to church, Brian.
You know, we're those who Jesus called out, and we're a building and a temple that God lives in, all of us together. We're the body of Christ. We are not built by human hands. We are built by God. Amen. I remember in Genesis where God, I can just see him just kneeling down and grabbing a handful of dirt, molding it into a human figure, and then breathing his life into us. That's an amazing story. Breathing his life into us. And in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit come into us. Amen. Came into the disciples that day on Pentecost. The word church has packed a lot of baggage over the last 2,000 years, and it comes to mean a lot of things to those it touched. Most of the time when we say church today, people think of buildings and clergy and organizations and professions, and sometimes they hear hypocrisy and greed and prejudice, and sometimes I hear family and charity and safety, and church has a lot of definitions, and sometimes it's even judgment. Jesus had only one definition for that. This ecclesia, this body of Christ that comes together, was called out. It's probably a little late to think about repainting all the church signs in the world to say Ecclesia. But the church, the fellowship, the gathering, the congregation, the meeting place is so important. It is. It's a place where the called out ones, it's a place where the church gathers together. Amen. I'm glad we have this wonderful building to come to, because this is a place that the church can come together and worship and praise. And yes, there is hypocrisy. Yes, there's greed. Yes, there's prejudice. Yes, there's all kinds of stuff. As long as we're here on this earth, there's those things. But if we work together, united as the body of Christ, that's what he wants from us. You know, this sign, this ecclesia, that I want to tell Verna now, I want a t-shirt that says that. Ecclesia. I am ecclesia. I am the church. You are the church. Jesus, you're the place where Jesus dwells. Amen. That's a big deal to me. I am the temple of Jehovah God Almighty. The meeting place. You know, we've tried to look at it in lots of ways, like it meant something about the guitar or the organ or whether we serve coffee or donuts or all kinds of things we can think of, but it's not about that, is it? It's not about that. Those are things we use and things we love and things we like, and that's okay. Do you know who you are and what you are? All the names in the world aren't going to do anything unless you change your eyes and your heart and understand that you are the church. You are the church. The ecclesia. The building where God lives, along with every other person that ever believed in Him. You're not part of a man-made church. This building can be destroyed by fire. It can be destroyed by tornado. It can be destroyed by flood. It can be destroyed by governments. And, because that happens all over the world. The buildings are torn down. Tornadoes come through and wipe them out. But let me tell you something. That doesn't change who you are. You're still the church. You're still the ecclesia. I've been preaching a lot about this lately. I look at the early church and I look at how they would get scattered because of oppression or persecution would come upon them and they would get scattered everywhere. But guess what? It wasn't about the building they had to leave. It was about what lived inside of them because they were the church. And when the church got scattered, guess what? The church just got scattered and they just started to multiply again. And they built. No matter where they went, there was the church. The ecclesia. Beautiful word. The building where God lives. We are the church. The place not built by human hands. Isn't that amazing? I don't know. Jesus promised something. I do know this. I said, I don't know, but that's not what I've got written down. I know this. Jesus promised something to his disciples, the ones who are called out, the believers, the ones who accept him and follow him. He says this, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am with them. Amen. No matter where you're at, no matter where you're at, he's with you. Man, remember that today, that you are the church. So no matter where you're at, no matter what's going on in your life, remember, you're not something built by human hands. You're built by a divine God for a purpose, set aside for a special purpose. Amen? Isn't that wonderful to think? So as you leave here today, remember that. As you go into this world, remember, you are the church. You believe that today?
Yes.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord. Lord, I hope I spoke your word the way you wanted me to. I know sometimes we don't get it. But Lord, I want to be like Peter. I want to be like Peter and say, Lord, you're the Christ, Son of the most living high God. Lord, I praise you. Lord, let us leave here better than we came, sharing your gospel everywhere we go to this lost and fallen world. This world needs your church. Lord, let us be good servants. I praise you. I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.